Our gospel this morning is written in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is... This morning, you might notice in your bulletin that I've left you a little bit of space in case you'd like to take some notes and jot some things down from this morning's sermon that you might be able to apply in this coming week. In 1935, a young boy of 6, his mother and some other family members were picking berries in the Foothill State Forest of central Minnesota. Not quite as rugged as the Superior Country, but a deep, dark, mostly untrammeled forest in 1935, nonetheless. Suddenly, his mother turned around and realized that her son was missing. Frantic, she began calling. Soon, the entire family was calling for him. A search party was organized, and my grandfather, Glenn, was part of that search party. Grandpa Glenn was a teenager, and he and that little boy had become good friends. He remembered searching arms linked with other searchers through the underbrush, investigating every hollow, every tree trunk, every cave, and every creek. He and his rescue crew looked for days and through several sleepless nights. But this is a sad story. The little boy was never found. My grandfather died in 2013. He was an amazing storyteller. He loved recounting incidents from his youth and stories of Minnesota when it was still frontier. The disappearance of that little boy haunted him, though. I had heard him tell the story several times growing up as a precautionary tale about not getting lost in the woods, and it was one of the very last stories that I heard him retell. Looking back across the years, remembering those sleepless nights and the frantic faces of the boy's parents, he closed his last retelling with these words, "I still have dreams of searching for that boy. I sure wish I could have found him." We are looking during this sermon series at the parables of Jesus, particularly the ones that Luke relates in his gospel. You might remember from a few weeks ago that Dr. Luke was a Greek convert to the faith, and he begins his gospel with the stated intention of writing a complete and orderly account of the life of Christ and the message of his life. His writing contains some parables which we find nowhere else. And during this series, we are examining these parables, hoping to rediscover the heart of God and reconsider who Jesus is calling us to be as his followers. So, our parable today deals with the lost and the found. You might recall from last week that Jesus told these everyday stories as a way of illustrating spiritual truths. Now, often the religious leaders of his day had already closed their minds and hardened their hearts to the truths that Jesus was preaching. For them, the parables were either a mystery or they were simply enraged by them. In our first parable, Jesus uses the example of sheep. People knew sheep in the days of Christ. Sheep were all over the place in the Galilee plains. They were, for us, We might think of the sheep being all over the place, kind of like the deer on Highway 61 going up and down the highway. Sheep have a bit of a bad rap. I grew up with sheep. I love sheep. I just talked to my dad the other day, and they've got, I think, 8 lambs now. And every spring growing up, we'd have 10, maybe 20 different lambs. Some of them became bottle lambs, especially if they were twins or triplets. And sheep just, you know, even though they're thought of as being dumb, really they're more stubborn than stupid. See, you can't push a sheep into a pen very well. You have to coax them. Otherwise, they'll just dig in their heels. So sheep are kind of like people. Sheep have a strong herd instinct. They like being in a flock. But what's happening when Jesus talks about the sheep that are going astray? Usually these sheep don't bound away or run off from the rest of the herd. Instead, they just sort of nibble their way lost. The grass always looks just a little bit greener a few feet away from the herd, so they stubbornly follow the green grass until they look up and they realize that they're lost. Then they panic. They have no real sense of direction. They have no real idea where they've been, so they just run. They run, and sometimes they fall into ravines and can't get up, or they get tangled in the brush, or they just get more lost. So, why did Jesus use this example? See, to his hearers, a lost sheep was essentially a dead sheep in the Judean wilderness. This is the wilderness of Judea, not too far from where Jesus would have been relating this parable. It's a rugged, dry landscape. And it's also the home to a couple of familiar predators. It's the home to the lion. Peter describes in his first epistle Satan as a lion on the prowl, ready to devour. And that would have been familiar to the people of his day. It was a motif throughout the Old Testament. And another, the jackal. Jeremiah describes the lives of the people without God as being like the haunt of the jackal. Sheep would have been easy prey for either one of these predators. I think we're like sheep as well, who nibble their way lost sometimes too. Remember, Jesus isn't really talking about sheep. He's talking about sinners. He's talking about the people that the Pharisees didn't think he should have anything to do with. Sheep had a long-standing status in the Bible as stand-ins for God's people. Isaiah said those words we associate with Handel's Messiah, "We like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way." Some of us might run headlong into ravines, but I think most of us, at least at some point in our lives, just sort of nibble our way lost. In our stubbornness, we think we see greener grass just a little ways up ahead, and up ahead, and up ahead further, and well, then we're lost. We're lost, and we become prey to the lions and the jackals of our own wilderness, sin, death, and the power of the devil. But Jesus befriended tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners. Their green grass was maybe a little bit of extra profit at the expense of someone else through the systems that the Romans had established for taxation, or a faster climb out of the appalling poverty of the day by appealing to men's baser carnality. It's not so different for us, really. We throw away the freedom we experience in Christ when we chase after a little extra profit at the expense of someone else. Maybe just a little, and then a little more, and pretty soon we're lost. When I was in college, a friend's mother was arrested on embezzlement charges. She was really a nice lady. As a bookkeeper, she'd borrowed a few dollars out of her employer's till to make a couple of minor purchases, promising herself that she'd pay it back. One thing led to another until she was cooking the books to cover up large loans that she knew she'd never really be able to pay back. She told herself her family needed a vacation and needed a new car, and she just nibbled herself down the wrong path. And when she looked up, she was lost. Another friend of mine lost her marriage in the same sort of way. A little innocent flirting with a guy at work, a private moment that planted a seed that drove its roots deep, that blossomed into a weekend away on business that wasn't really business. And soon she discovered that she'd abandoned her husband, chased a feeling that wasn't real, and destroyed a young family. She nibbled her way lost. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that we in Minnesota are in the midst of a heroin addiction epidemic. For most of these addicts, though, their addiction started with prescription painkillers. Just a nibble, a little pain that needed to be taken care of, and maybe a little extra prescription, and, well, pretty soon they found themselves hopelessly addicted and their lives out of control. It can start with a little half-truth, or a little click of the mouse, and then another, or a careless insult, and we've started nibbling our way away from God, from the lives He intended for us to lead. The message of the gospel is this: we've all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. No one is sinless. No one can keep themselves perfect. Not one. It's interesting to understand that the original way that the Israelites thought of sin, the most direct translation of that word that we translate as sin, is the prefix in English miss, as in to miss the mark, to misstep along the path, to misremember whose we are. We belong to the shepherd. In Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the good shepherd. But in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, the shepherd who gave his life for his sheep, who died on the cross to rescue us from ourselves, to take on all of our mistakes and all of our wrong turns, to take on all of the nibbling, to take the punishment that should have been ours." And then he rose victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. But then if we're like sheep, we're also like the coins. The coin in our second story is a drachma, less than a day's wage. And I was thinking about coins this week and currency as the announcement of the redesign of the $20 bill hit the news, featuring the face of Harriet Tubman and sort of the morality lessons that might be played out on that $20 bill. See, currency says something about our values. So Jesus chooses to specify that this woman was searching for a drachma. Now, I thought that was interesting because most of the time Jesus is talking about denarii, but this time it was a drachma. And you know, if Luke specifies something, there's a reason for that. So I wasn't sure why he chose a drachma, but maybe it was because this was a coin that commonly decorated the fringes of women's clothing. Maybe it reminded this woman of her happier days when she decorated her favorite dress. Maybe that's why it was so important to search for it. Maybe it was because it was common and she was a poor woman and she only had 10 of them. But the Pharisees would have been shocked that a rabbi would illustrate a godly truth with a drachma. Because the drachma contained, it had two sides. And on one side, it had the face of Alexander the Great. And on the other side, the goddess Athena. This was a hated coin amongst good observant Jews because it represented both the overlordship of the hated Greek rulers as well as a foreign god. See, Jesus now compares sinners to drachma. This coin is stamped with the image of the great king, Alexander. But even so, it won't lose its value, no matter how despised, how dust-caked, or how dirty. We too are stamped with the image of an even greater king, and we don't lose our value either. If Jesus is the good shepherd in the first parable, he's also like the widow woman in the second. Notice what these two do. They search relentlessly. The shepherd won't give up until he's found the lamb. The parable doesn't say if he finds the lamb, he puts it on his shoulders. He says when. And the woman burns precious oil to find this one coin. She gets down on her knees in the dust of her dirt floor to sweep it until she just barely sees that glint of metal. This is the relentless love of God. He pursues, he seeks us out and calls us back. We are worth everything to God. He gave his very life for us. And the angels rejoice when these sheep are found. And I want you to notice how Jesus begins each of these parables. He doesn't say, he says, doesn't he go and look for the lamb? Won't she light a lamp? He asked these questions of his listeners, the Pharisees. And see, the truth was that they wouldn't. They'd more likely say, let the sheep die. It should have known better. Forget the coin. It's bad anyway. They couldn't be bothered. Which leads us to our lesson this morning from Ezekiel. See, in Ezekiel, God looked at the religious leaders of Israel and calls them shepherds who are bad. They're bad shepherds. They lay on extra rules for the people to follow. They take instead of giving. They don't seek out the lost. They let them scatter. These are the ones who should have been seeking out the lost. They should have been taking care of the water supply. But they didn't. And there's a lesson for us here as well. You might remember Origen's parable principle. In order to get the most out of any parable, you have to put yourself into each character. So Luke, I think, is also asking us to examine ourselves in the light of the Pharisees. See, in some of his last words to his disciples, Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, Jesus says, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. Are you seeking out the lost? Have you lifted up your neighbors this week? Have you shared the gospel with anyone this month? The woman searched with her lantern. Are you shining the light of the gospel into your world? Last Saturday, Judy and I attended an LCMC forum in Duluth. One of the speakers spoke on trends in worship attendance and participation in church. And he said that every year, thousands of people nibble their way away from God's people. Some of them are angry or upset over certain issues. Others just haven't experienced true Christian community in church, where we love each other unconditionally. We act as each other's stretcher bearers. We see Christ when we welcome the stranger. They admire Jesus. They just don't see any relevance for the church. At the same time, addiction and suicide and family division, all of the indicators that people need a Savior are telling us we have a job to do to make clear the story of the gospel. Like my grandfather, we have a job to do to search and seek out the lost. Like the shepherd and the woman, will we not go? So one last story. Jesus also says in John 10, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And later on, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that we only can hear the voice of God through his word if it's preached, if it's shared, if it's taught. If you aren't reading it, you aren't hearing his voice, and you'll nibble your way lost much more quickly. I learned this truth about the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice when I was in high school, and it was kind of a hard lesson to learn. I think I was 16, and I or maybe 17, and I'd not had my driver's license very long. And we had an old station wagon, and a lady stopped by our house one day, and she lived in a cabin not too far away from where my parents lived. And she'd seen our sheep often driving by, and she wanted to play a practical joke on her neighbor. And she wanted to give her neighbor a ewe and a lamb for her birthday present. Now, she wasn't really intending to give the ewe and the lamb, just say that she was giving the ewe and the lamb. And she wondered if she could pay me a little bit of money to bring over a ewe and a lamb. So I saw an opportunity for kind of a fast buck, you know, it wouldn't be that difficult. So I, early in the morning, about 5:30, I loaded up a ewe and a lamb into the back of this old 1963 Rambler station wagon with the push-button transmission on it. And I drove over to this lady's house and got there successfully and was getting out of the back, and something went wrong. And I didn't ever get the ewe over to the lady's house. Instead, it took off through the woods with the lamb following it. And the ewe was bleeding for the rest of the flock. And the lamb was following the ewe, running after it. And they were running through the woods. I chased after the woods. I was shaking grain in a pail, thinking it would turn around. It didn't. It kept going. It went across 2 or 3 yards, I think, on the lake until it went into another patch of woods. And finally, I decided that I had to call my dad. So I called my dad on the phone and I said, "Dad, here's what I did. I took a ewe and a lamb." And he said, "I wondered what you were doing out there." And I said, "Yeah, well, they're in the woods and I can't get them out. They keep running away from me." And so he said, "Okay, I'll be over there in a few minutes." So he came over. And he got out of his vehicle, and he stood at the edge of the ditch, and the sheep were in there in the woods someplace, and I didn't know where. And he yelled out, "Hey, lambie, lambie, lambie," which is what he always did to call the sheep, and the ewe just walked out of the woods. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. If you've never felt Jesus' love enfold and embrace you like his lost lamb, I encourage you to put your faith in him today. If you strayed from the path, nibbled your way lost, I hope you'll hear his voice. "Here, lamb, come home." And I encourage you to bring his love and his word to your neighbor. Amen.